is so ridiculous. Yet another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa, you know? And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. Yeah. Jesus was a white man too.
And you heard her, she said it, Megyn Kelly, Jesus. Not only is Jesus white, but Santa is white. So we had to bring a former Christian, white, Irish, Englishman, and get this, a former believer in Santa too, to clear up this topic here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you.
Assalamu alaikum.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
John Fontaine?
Yep.
How are you? You heard the clip. We're going to play it again. Megyn Kelly?
Yes.
We're going to go to this clip right now.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. Yeah. Jesus was a white man too.
So you heard her say it, and you heard me open the show. I had to bring a former Christian and white, Irish, British, English.
Yes, English.
Former believer in Santa.
Yes.
To help us cover this topic.
Yes.
So what do you think about what she said?
Well, it's a fictional character. You know, no one's actually seen the real Father Christmas. In England, we call him Father Christmas. I know you call him Santa, right?
Yes.
So, it's fictional. You know, there's a few people in history which he's based on. We've got St. Nicholas, who's a Christian bishop in the area of Turkey, which we know today as Turkey. And St. Nicholas was from that part of the world, the Mediterranean, and he wouldn't have been white. You know, this area, he certainly wouldn't have been my complexion, mm-hmm. Which I would regard as white. So I don't know where she would get this idea that Santa is white. Mm-hmm. But it's fictional. You know, the fact is the arguing over a fictional character doesn't exist.
So you can make him, he can be black if you believe in him. He could be Chinese. Doesn't matter because he's fake.
It's fake.
Yeah. But St. Nicholas, by the way, let's go to this clip. There's some forensic evidence that also shows that he wasn't white.
Yeah. Of course, the real St. Nicholas was from a part of the world that is now Turkey. And according to forensic scientists who studied research originally commissioned by the Vatican, he probably looked something like this.
So in this clip that we just saw, it obviously shows him being someone from the Mediterranean region there, someone like a...
Yeah, someone who would brown, maybe have darker skin, yeah. You know, to cope with the sun and things like that. But yeah, he's not white.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, St. Nicholas himself, as a historical figure, he actually took part in the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, which was actually the council which decided that Jesus was a part of God. So it's a very important council. Mm-hmm. Very important for the history of Christianity.
Yeah, so we'll get to Jesus in a minute. Let's still. You grew up. Tell us a little about this. You grew up believing in Santa Claus that, the big fat man was going to come down to the chimney, yeah. Leave his reindeer up on the roof, and come bring you your presents.
Yeah, we used to believe this. My family taught me that Father Christmas was real. Father Christmas was coming to our school. You know, we'd sit on his knee. He would give us a present and ask us what we wanted, and we believed in Father Christmas. You know, it was a reality; he was real. And when we're told that he's not real, it's a big shock to the system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a moment in our life when we remember exactly where we was at the time.
You mentioned something that you at one point in your life you thought he was racist.
Yeah, I mean, I used to think Father Christmas or Santa was racist because. After the holidays, I was going to school, and my Pakistani friend didn't have any presents, you know. So Father Christmas, he missed out all the Pakistanis, all the Africans. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed that only white people got gifts. Yeah.
That's really interesting. We got a clip over here. We're going to go to that. Actually, that Jesus, peace be upon him, but Santa, he's also been locked up a few times.
There's toys and electronics everywhere. I bet everything in that bag is hot.
It's larceny, criminal trespass.
I think we've got enough. Why don't we just head on downtown, huh? I'm going to need a... Whoa, he's running!
What?
So you can see Santa here getting locked up, you know. But also, you have, in today's day and age, you have a lot of pedophiles.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't really advise, letting your child sit on some stranger's lap, especially in a sick society today that we, with all these weirdos out there.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know who he is.
You don't know who he is. So how did you snap out of this?
I came to the conclusion that there's something going on. You know, I mean, I can't remember how old I was, but I was questioning my mother. I was saying, is he real? Is he not real? And eventually she told me that he was not real, you know. And, it's a big shock.
Big shock.
But it makes me wonder why we teach our children this. You know, why would we lie to our children? Because it's not a good thing to do. It teaches you that you can't trust your own parents. And if I can't trust my own parents, who can I trust?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People see it as a bit of fun, but in reality, it's not really helping.
But isn't it, I mean, you were a former Christian, and any believing Bible-believing Christian, if he looks into his Bible, the opposite is told about Christmas, that you shouldn't, because when we look at the roots of Christmas, we see that these have pagan origins.
Yes.
So the Bible says don't follow pagan cultures, and actually, you know, it's severe against it, that God will punish you.
Yes.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, I mean, all the prophets were sent throughout time to correct the mistakes which their people was making, you know, because their people was following customs which were not a part of the true religion, such as Abraham, peace be upon him, he was correcting the mistakes of his forefathers and the pagan religions which they were following. And the same thing with Jesus, peace be upon him, you know, he was correcting the mistakes of his people. And this is the thing, we shouldn't be following pagan origins. I mean, if we look at Christmas, there's many origins, you know, such as Mithra. Mithra was a sun god. Which was born on the 25th of December, you know, this sun god died, was crucified, was 3 days later came back to life. It's the same story as what we're hearing with the origins of Christmas. You know, the 25th of December. You know, I mean, even according to the Bible and the Quran, Jesus, peace be upon him, could not have been born around the time of December or the time of when they're declaring or suggesting he was born. It would have been most probably in the summertime.
Do you really think now Jesus would, if he was alive today, would he be celebrating Christmas? Would he condemn it, condone it? What would be his attitude to a lot of the things that are attributed to him in today's time?
Yeah, I mean, we can see many traditions are formed from the supposedly Jesus' birthday. But we should look at the teachings of Jesus himself. You know, he never told us to celebrate his birthday. This was not something that we was told to do. He would never told us to take him as God. You know, this is the new thing. People taking Jesus as the Son of God or God himself. You know, we should follow the teachings of Jesus, where Jesus says, worship the one creator. You know, this is the message we should be following.
Yeah, if you stem now, if you look at his teachings, like you're saying, so these holidays obviously have pagan origins. Was he even born on, can you say that he was born on this day, the 25th?
Certainly not. He wasn't born on this day. We can see from the Quran and the Bible, we can see that he was most likely born in the summertime. There's a lot of evidence to show that he was born within the summertime.
So, I mean, you would say, we almost, before we go to break, that a lot of these lies, they end up catching up to you, because this is what atheists, they take this, you know, and they come from Christian backgrounds, and they see a lot of these things that just don't make sense, you know, lies after lies, and then they end up, you know, leaving these man-made religions.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, what's happened, especially in Britain as well. Many people have left religion altogether, because they can see the problems with the Bible, and the Bible doesn't make sense. They can see the Bible is not from the Creator, therefore they leave religion altogether. And this is why in Islam we have to try and help people come back to the correct religion, which is Islam.
And that's the interesting thing. That what we have is something that's pointing us to asking for evidence. So when we look at the evidence, we see that, no way, the Creator sanctioned this. This is not from any of His prophets, including Jesus, who we love and revere as one of the mightiest messengers that God sent. Yeah. So we'll be right back with more. We have the next statement by Megyn Kelly that we want to clarify. And hopefully she's tuning in and she can get the benefit. And because we're really not trying to bash her at all, we're just trying to clear up and bring to light some of these facts, not fiction. So we cleared up if Jesus or Santa was white.
Yes.
And who he was, fiction. And then we'll also, and most people obviously know this, but then we're going to get into Jesus. She made a bold statement talking about that he was white.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about his true mission when we come back with the author of Jesus and the Injil, John Fontaine, here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
To save one life is as if you've saved all humanity. Show kindness to your parents, just as they cared for you when you were young. Give in charity of the good things you earn. Even a smile is a charity. Explore the real values of Islam. Find the missing piece. Call us toll free at 877-Y-Islam.
Back here on The Dean Show with the author of Jesus and the Injil, John Fontaine, former believer in Santa.
Yes.
Not anymore?
Not anymore.
All right. Let's go back to the...
Unfortunately.
Let's go to the clip again.
Jesus was a white man too.
Jesus is a white man too. What do you got to say about that?
Well, Jesus was from the children of Israel. Is that correct?
Yes.
Of course. I mean, we all accept that, you know, Jews, Christians and Muslims accept that Jesus was from the children of Israel. So he would have been from the part of the world in the Middle East. We say that he was born in Bethlehem, and he was from the Middle East, you know, Bethlehem. So he was most likely, again, not white like me. Where, funny enough, if we see the Christians the way they paint Jesus and draw Jesus, he would usually look something like me. He would have mostly maybe red hair, red beard, and a thobe. You know, he would look like a Muslim. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was, in reality, was from the Middle East. He was he was not white in the sense of the way I'm white. He was not European. He was from the Middle East.
And that becomes a big problem when you give the attributes of the Creator to the attributes of the human being, and then you give him a color, skin tone, a nationality, a language. So now people start, now the race wars begin, because now you have the African Americans who are making Jesus being black, the Hispanics, you got Jesus, you got a picture of him, and now it becomes a race problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is, they've not only done this with Jesus, they've also done this with God. If you go to Italy, You look on the walls, you know, God is also a white man. You know, he looks Italian.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you know, there's appealing to the audience, if you like. The Italian stallion, if you like. You know, he would look similar to Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
You know, he's quite a...
So
where if you go to Africa, there's parts of Africa where Jesus, you see on the churches, I've seen myself, that Jesus and the angels... are carved into stone. They look black.
Yeah, where is it?
This is in Senegal.
In Senegal,
yeah, parts of Senegal, Sierra Leone.
Yeah,
you know, they portray Jesus as black. So I mean, it's about people trying to fit in and trying to fit their beliefs within what they feel comfortable.
And they probably, both of them, that end up Santa Claus and Jesus. If they were trying to fly nowadays, they probably end up on a no-fly list. Right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, isn't it true?
Yeah. I mean, generally, you know, we don't get an easy You don't go through the airport season, if you like. Yeah.
Okay, so moving along, I mean, I think now that we've cleared up, okay, the doubts about that, that obviously Santa, and this is that time of Christmas, we see that there was no sanction for it in the Bible. Mm. Jesus never taught it, nor was he born on that day. Now the message, I think this is even more important because we have a lot of fictional characters and fictional events. They're just made up and suited for the times. And a lot of this make-believe is just going on. And people are just getting fed up. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, the atheist, people are leaving religion. And now here comes Islam telling the truth. Mm. What was the true message of Jesus? You know, what did he actually proclaim? Mm. Did he proclaim to be God? Islam clearly says no. Let's elaborate on this and truly letting the people know that this, what we're going to say right now, this is not fiction. This is fact.
Yeah.
The true message of Jesus, peace be upon him. What was that?
Yeah, the thing when Islam came, it came with the final revelation, which is the Quran, which is a perfect guidance for which we use in our daily life. You know, it's not just a law, but it's teachings within which we would take use as an example, not only the Quran, but also the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we use the example of his life in our daily life. And when we look into if we look into other holy books, which claim to be holy books, such as the Bible, we see that there's a lack of teachings within the New Testament, especially within Christianity, which actually lead Christians to actually now look in other directions for teachings, for direction in life as well. So when we look at the Quran, we see it's a final revelation, and it is from the Creator. And the Quran talks about the previous prophets. It talks about Jesus in depth. It talks about how he was born. There's a whole chapter named after his mother, Mary, the Surah Maryam, which talks about the birth of Jesus, and also Surah Imran. It goes through the family of Jesus as well. And we can see that Jesus, peace be upon him, he came with the same message as all the prophets, which was to worship the one Creator, the one God. And the way we do that is that we have the five pillars of Islam. The first form of worship is to acknowledge your Creator. Okay, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that there is a Creator, and that only the Creator is worthy of worship. And this is the first pillar of Islam.
So once people understand that, and they can move on to the rest, but so we stick to that first, that acknowledging that Jesus, peace be upon him, was the paragon example of human excellence.
Yes.
The best of character. A teacher, just like Abraham, Moses, teaching the message that was sent by the Creator for humanity.
Yes.
But now people get confused because you'll ask someone, do you believe Jesus is God? Was he sent by God? And most people agree, he was sent by God, but he's the Son of God.
Yes.
So they attribute God having a son and then being one.
Yeah.
How do you clear this confusion?
I mean, we look at, when we say the Son of God, Jesus, I mean, as Muslims, we don't believe that Jesus is a physical Son of God. Now, if you're talking about metaphorical, we can see that metaphorically we're all children of God. Okay, David in the Bible is described as a son of God, but the Jews and the Christians have never said that he's a physical son of God, you see? So we can see even within the Bible that it's metaphorical, okay? So Jesus, as a metaphorically a son of God, but according to Islam, God does not have children, okay? God is not like the creation. We can't imagine the Creator. It's beyond our comprehension, okay? So Jesus is a prophet of God. He's one of the mightiest messengers of God. He came with the teachings, and we follow Jesus. We love Jesus as a Muslim. We have to love Jesus. If we don't love Jesus and we don't believe in Jesus as a prophet, we can't be Muslim, okay? Because this is one of the articles of faith as a Muslim, to believe in all the previous prophets.
Now, if you ask, obviously Jesus, peace be upon him, he didn't speak Greek. He didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, correct?
Aramaic,
and you talk about this in your book, Jesus and the Injil. Mm. So Jesus today, if we mention a word that he's never heard, like for instance, was Jesus a human? Jesus a human? I think everybody who knows English would say yes, correct?
Yes.
But now we're going to use a word that sums up what he did, his whole mission, and that word is Islam and Muslim. Islam, yeah. Can we link that back yes. to Jesus, that Jesus was a Muslim who did Islam, and now connect it all together, because many people have the misnotion, the misconception yes. that Islam is some new religion.
Yes.
You know, this is something new that came along. Christianity yeah. came way before it, but you know, when we explain to them that, no, Islam has been yeah. there from the beginning, Jesus was a Muslim, but now there's some confusion, like, how is that? Can you yeah. answer this?
I mean, people always say, I hear this all the time, you know, they say, oh, Islam came later. No, it's the first prophet in Islam is Adam, peace be upon him. You know, Prophet Adam. And Jesus and all the prophets were worshipping the one creator. If we look at Abraham, peace be upon him, he was not Jewish or Christian. And no Jew or Christian will tell you that Abraham is Jewish. Okay? Abraham was a monotheist. He was submitting to the one creator, the one true God, as according to what he had been revealed. And the Arabic word for this is Muslim. So someone who submits to God is a Muslim. Okay? So at the time of Moses, peace be upon him, was a Muslim. He was submitting to God, the one true God, the creator of the universe. The same way Jesus, peace be upon him, was submitting to the one true God. Mm-hmm. And the Arabic word for this is Islam.
Now, you obviously being a former Christian, was yes. in your studying, did yes. this fascinate you? And this is one of the things that led you to Islam, along with all the evidence, not blindly jumping into it, because you have to sacrifice a lot to leave yeah. your parents' religion to come over to Islam. Yeah. Is this one of the things that fascinated
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had many questions. You know, I was asking the church, I was asking the people at the church, and they couldn't answer me. They was just telling me, have faith, have blind faith. I yeah. couldn't. I wanted yeah. answers.
Yeah.
And if you want answers, you have to go where they have answers.
Yeah.
And when I started to look into Islam, they had answers.
All the answers you found?
Every answer you need.
Everything was made clear. Purpose yeah. of life?
Everything's
why
there.
Why you've been created?
Everything.
Where you going when you die?
Everything.
Everything is there?
The Quran is the perfect revelation for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we want to assuage any fear, because now we have some more questions, because the skeptics might think in terrorism, his suppression of women. And Megyn Kelly's probably tuning in, and she's like, oof. Come on, what they do to their women, right?
Yeah.
Just hold on, Megan, please. We're going to address these issues with the author of Jesus and the Injil here on The Dean Show.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show, and hopefully our special guest tuning in, Megyn Kelly. We got to clear this up for her. And now you've just expressed what Islam is really about, worshiping the creator, not the creation. Yeah. Explain this confusion about the literal meaning that God actually had a son, because that doesn't make sense, you know? Mm. And when you really think about it, how can, you know, it does make sense. Yeah. Were you battling with that for some time? And the whole idea of God dying, you know, God sending his only son.
Yeah.
Why wasn't a daughter?
Did you ever think? No one can explain it.
But why, I mean, look, if this is true, why, I mean, isn't this, you know, shouldn't the women, the feminist movement jump up and say, why didn't God have a daughter?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and then they come together and have grandchildren.
Yeah,
what
doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
No. I mean, God created Adam.
Yes.
So how can God be Adam?
Yes.
How can God be a part of the creation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the creator cannot be a part of the creation. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's and when you start to question. They won't answer your questions in the church.
Yeah.
No one has answers, because there's no answer.
And you went through this.
I went through this, yeah.
Yeah. So Megyn Kelly now, she's hopefully, God willing, we want all of our viewers to reach out to her and her Twitter and send this to her and have her get involved and really see where we're coming from, because there's a lot of misconceptions. But you got an American, and Irish English here. English, we're not Arab, because that's one of the things people think, okay, you know, you're a Muslim, so you're an Arab. And we see that, obviously, Jesus was not white. He was a Semitic. Yes. So he spoke Aramaic, sister language, to Arabic. He called on God by Allaha, Allahu, right? Yes. So this is amazing. You're learning some very interesting, amazing facts. But now, someone's like, look, not every... How does the saying go? Not every Muslim is a... Not every terrorist is a Muslim, but every Muslim is a terrorist, right?
Yeah.
And people ask you, so, oh, you became a terrorist. As soon as you tell them now, you became one who submitted to the will of the Creator. Yeah. You're a terrorist now?
That's what they say.
Yeah, so what do you say? To assuage any fear? So, you know, people are really having some bizarre, crazy things associated with Islam.
Well, many times people judge Islam, or they judge Islam by the people, by the followers. And that's not correct. You wouldn't judge a car by the driver, would you?
No.
You know, you would judge the car by the instruction manual, which is the Quran. Okay, so we have to judge Islam by the actual fundamental principles of Islam. If you go to the Quran and the hadiths, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we can judge Islam by this. And when you see this, you see that Islam is perfect. And the funny thing is, when you look online or you look into the media, whenever they attack Islam, they attack the Muslims, okay? They don't actually attack the sources of Islam. They don't attack the Quran. They don't attack the hadiths. They attack the actual Muslims. But when you see people attacking Christianity, they tend to look at the contradictions in the Bible. They look at the problems with the actual source. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Because they see that the source has a lot of problems. But the thing with Islam is the sources in Islam are perfect. As I say, we have the original Quran, letter for letter, word for word. It's the same Quran which we recite every day, which we had at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Any contradictions in the Quran? Because people say, okay, look, you know, something that was written that long time ago, these men were inspired, they wrote the Bible. So even with all the mistakes and contradictions, not trying to disparage on anybody, just trying to bring, just like we brought Santa Claus to light, you know, the tooth fairy, we didn't talk about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're trying to bring this to light, the true message of Jesus, peace be upon him. Amen?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with me, I didn't just accept Islam. I tried to prove it wrong for many years. Maybe 2 years, I was trying to prove Islam wrong. I was going to the Quran, to the Hadith, to try and find something to disprove Islam, and I couldn't find it. No, eventually, I had to submit myself to Islam.
But do you think before we leave, we have to cut out? People have this illusion in their head, what the truth is. They want God to look like this color, like them, speak this language. And now when the message doesn't fit with what they want it to be, it becomes a problem. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And now, isn't this an obstacle for many people? Because you have to humble yourself. It's not like, what can God do for me? It's like, what can I do for my Creator?
Yes.
So when the message comes, now you have to eliminate all of this racism, all of this hate, and block it out, and really just, you know, examine it humbly.
This is a part of the submission, you know, because everyone, before Islam, your ego is telling you that God should be white or God should be black. No, God is something that you cannot comprehend. And once you understand this, then you can submit to God. And you have to think of it like this. If we look at the creation, okay, now if we look into the heavens and the earth and we look into the stars and the universe, subhanAllah, if God created the universe, surely this God is worthy of worship. Yeah, and we can't see God. We can't even look at the sun. If we look at the sun, we go blind. We can't even imagine the next solar system. You understand where I'm coming from? So how can we imagine God? How can we see God? We can't. It's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
So once we understand that God has created the universe, this God is worthy of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, the first form of worship is acknowledging your Creator. Actually acknowledging that He is there, that there is a Creator, and acknowledging that He is worthy of worship. And you do this by testifying, and you make a statement, you testify the Shahada, which is the declaration of faith, and you say that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, God, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger. And once you accept this, you have come into the fold of Islam. And that's all it takes. It's so easy to become a Muslim.
And this is the same, declaration you'd make during the time of Jesus. If you were living during the time of Jesus, there's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator, and Jesus is the messenger. yeah. not the God or the okay. Son, literal Son exactly. of God. Correct? So you start to connect this, it makes sense. So terrorism with Islam, baloney?
Exactly.
Suppression of women?
Doesn't happen.
Baloney?
Yeah.
So all these things, people, if they really look at it...
I mean, we're not denying that maybe some people are oppressed by Muslims. But Muslims are not perfect, okay? But Islam is. If this is happening, this is against Islam.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So much to talk about. Go ahead.
Just one last thing. The reason it's so important to submit to your Creator, okay? Because it's easy to believe in the Creator when we look into the proofs. But you have to submit, okay? Satan believes in the Creator, okay? He believes that the Creator exists, but it's not enough, okay? You have to submit to the Creator. You have to acknowledge that only the Creator is worthy of worship.
Give the example that you gave about someone denying their own mother.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a good person, I do the best amount of good deeds in the world, you know, I can be Nelson Mandela, okay? But if I ignore my own mother, am I a good person? No. It outweighs everything I do. So how can I be a good person, a truly good person, if I don't acknowledge the Creator?
That's deep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We got to exactly. still, you know, it's coming around that time, Christmas, so we're thinking about doing another show.
Yes.
You're going to be around?
Yeah, I'm around.
Okay, so God willing, we'll have you back again?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Peace be with you. Assalamualaikum. Thank you very much for tuning in. Megyn Kelly, hopefully, if she hasn't watched it or she's watching, you guys can reach out to her and get her this show on her Twitter page. We'll have this on our Twitter page. Go ahead and forward it to her. And God willing, if she tunes in, you know, because there are a lot of misconceptions. You know, when the truth comes, you know, she was an attorney, and she can understand that, you know, the attorney's job is to try to, if you're in this part of the law where you're trying to discredit someone, so an old lady comes up, very innocent, but if you're in the opposition, your job is to make this lady look out to be the liar. So now you have Islam coming, and it's the truth, but it has all of these negative connotations attributed to it. But when you come to know it for what it is, that its simplicity, the believable message, and then you as a woman, if Megyn Kelly, you're tuning in, you start to see these facts that the first person to embrace the submission to the Creator when it came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during his time, was a woman. That's right. The first person to die who was a martyr defending Islam, she stood for Islam, was a woman. The greatest scholar in Islam was a woman. So talk to a Muslim woman and see if she's subjugated or oppressed, because that's usually what they'll bring up. And then you see that through watching the Dean Show, you see that a lot of these lies that have been told to us, the whole Santa Claus fable, and then you have the tooth fairy, and then Jesus, his true message. We tried to clear that up. Jesus now, never claiming to be God or a literal son of God. So if you were lied to once, you'd be lied to twice. But Islam sets it straight and gives you the evidence and the proof. So you can go ahead and submit, knowing that indeed this is the way of life from the Creator that gives you peace, prosperity, and purpose in this life and paradise in the next. Definitely, without a doubt, you'll come to know that if you humbly seek the guidance from your Maker, your Creator. So hopefully this show has been of benefit. And during this time, now it's time for us to really reflect if this was brought to your attention and to go beyond just blindly following the customs and cultures of your grandparents, forefathers, and be someone who is humbly seeking to know really what's the purpose of life, why have I been created, and where am I going when I die. Tune in every week to The Dean Show. Follow us. We'll have this posted on our Facebook and our Twitter, and let's help get this message to our new fan of The Dean Show, Megyn Kelly. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be unto you.